now come to order. And at this time, may we all please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag and remain standing as the invocation will be given by Cindy Marks, Cindy Ministry Network.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, I just praise you for your graciousness and mercy upon us. I thank you also for the rain that we have to help sustain us through this next year. I pray that you would bless each supervisor and their spouses and their families. I also pray for great wisdom for them and for Stan Risen and all of the staff that oversee and implement the projects and daily duties. I pray you honor them for their hard work. I also pray you give them witty inventions and solutions to the problems that they face for our county. And once again, we praise you, Lord, for all that you are doing in Stanislaus County and around us, and that you are about to do. In your holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you
very much. We now will have Tom Shannon, Superintendent of Schools.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the board. It's a pleasure to be here and an honor to speak in front of you today. At this time each year, I give a 5 to 6 minute update on what's happening in the arena of education in Stanislaus County. Today, I wanted to do a refocus on let you know what's happening with the countywide initiative Destination Graduation. We're in the second year. We started the initiative taking little kind of small steps with this project, and I wanted to give you an update. So recently I was in a ski shop looking at some equipment, and there was a customer that came in. They must have thought I was an employee there, and they asked me some questions about skiing, particularly cross-country skiing. And so one of the questions said, well, do you have any advice? I'm just getting started with cross-country skiing. Do you have any advice for me? And my advice was, start with a small country. So we started this initiative. We started this initiative taking small steps, but now we have really, we're in full stride now, and I just wanted to give you some updates on where we are with that. So the goal, obviously, is to increase graduation rates in our county. Currently, we're at 82%, and you know that is where the state average is. But when you think about those numbers, that's almost 2 out of 10 students that start high school in ninth grade do not graduate, and that's unacceptable. We have to do something about that because our community certainly can't sustain that, and nationally, our country can't sustain that as well. So we have really dedicated ourselves to that. A reminder, most people, when they think about high school dropouts, they go, oh, well, students in high school, the old fawns, that's when they drop out. But this is not a high school problem. It's a preschool problem. Most of our youngsters start to school already with a academic and an achievement gap in place, and that's what we really need to focus on, and I'll tell you what we're doing to meet that. So this initiative was really spurned by three books. You've heard me talk about the coming jobs war, about the need for a skilled and trained workforce in the future. When the boomers bail, that's another book that also addresses the same issues of communities, vibrant communities, and having jobs available. But the one book in the middle, Our Kids, The American Dream in Crisis, is a real sober read, and Robert Putman addresses the issue of students that he has classified throughout our nation, but in particular California and the Central Valley, as students that are they're either in the haves or the have-nots. And unfortunately, the numbers of have-nots in our Central Valley communities are growing, and we really need to address that issue if we expect them to be contributing citizens in our communities. So those are the books, and the one in the middle is the one that is really the driving force behind this, because first and foremost, we cannot let families and students forget about hope. and a future in their life. And that's what we have to instill in them. And here's the reason why this graduation is so important. I tell people when I go and talk to students, I say, when I was in high school, you never, ever had to think about getting a job. Because if you ended up with a high school diploma and had a pulse, you could get a job. Because why? Well, back in the 60s, look at that, 60% of the unskilled jobs were available nationally and in our state. Well, you fast forward to 2012 and look where we are. 14% of the jobs in our state are unskilled. So when I talk to young people, I say minimally a high school diploma and some technical training you will need in order to be successful in your life. And without that, whatever your vision is of the American dream, you're not going to be able to attain that. So it's kind of a wake-up call and trying to create a sense of urgency with a lot of our young people, because it's a competitive world. We all know that it's a global economy that we're living in, and we have to prepare our young people so that they can compete for those good jobs that we have. Well, here are the numbers. They really don't lie. And this is where we are in Stanislaus County. So this tells you that 4 years ago, when you add those numbers up, there were over 900 young people that started high school and 4 years later did not walk across the stage at one of our high schools to receive a diploma. It's really sad when you think, well, what are they doing now? Well, that's the question. What are they doing? They're not doing anything with their life in terms of being proactive and constructive. And we also have identified that the Hispanic male is the one that we really have to address and focus on. We're working with the El Concilio, Latino Roundtable, and other groups to really help us focus on that particular element of our community. The draw of gang life is so attractive that a young male Hispanic in sixth grade, if he is not grounded and connected to school, we're going to lose them. And the numbers don't lie. I want to show you another graph, though, that shows the percentage of our students that are dropping out. So even though we do not have a high number of black students in our communities, their percentage is the highest. So it's an effort working with all of our students. It's not primarily, well, we're going to work with Hispanic or we're going to work with the black students, but we need to focus and work with all of our students so that none of them slip and fall through the cracks. So what are we doing to address that? Well, the initiative is five pillars. It's sharing the best practices, mentoring, this road trip, parent awareness, and the Stan Reads. And I'm going to briefly tell you about those. The sharing the best practices are, we've had three tremendous speakers that have come in and shared practices with us and what they have worked with young people to help get them on the path to a purpose in life. We had Mark Johnson come in, National Superintendent of the Year a few years ago. He talked about the success he had in his school district. We followed that up with Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple Computers. He was at the Gallo Center, and he spoke to young people and adults about being innovative, creative, and having that heart to be an entrepreneur and creating. And then just recently, we had Bernard Kinsey, international speaker, and talking about how to overcome struggles in your life and move forward in spite of challenges. And it was all about an attitude that you took with you. Here's another best practice that I'm really proud of. And this is the Comeback Kid program. You've read about this and you've heard about it. But when we started, we anticipated maybe 25 students we would get. And the first year, you can see the number of students enrolled and the number that are graduated. The average age of these students are 28 years old. So when you think most graduate from high school at 17 and 18, these young people have been for 10 years kind of finding themselves and determining at long last that, you know what, this life that I'm living isn't getting it. And I need to do something. And that something is a high school diploma, because that's their ticket. That's their ticket out. You know, as we approach Easter, a lot of churches have little signs on them, their marquees encouraging, you know, come to church and all this. I saw one the other day, and it said, I used to be addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around. Well, these students are turning themselves around, and we are so happy to have them. We had an orientation yesterday upstairs at the county office, we had 180 more students that are coming in to enroll in this program. I want to show you the numbers again in 14-15. So we're approaching 1,000 students that are in our communities that do not have a high school diploma, that dropped out. They're coming back to school, and we're so grateful for that. The teachers say these students are highly motivated, and of those that were graduated in 14-15, I checked with Modesto Junior College, and over 100 are enrolled already at MJC, so they want to continue with their education. They've had that taste of success, and they want to continue. Also in 2014-15, I want you to know that the graduate was a speaker. She was 41 years old, and she was a mother of three. And in the audience in the front row was her husband and three children, balloons, flower bouquet, the whole bit. It was a big deal, and rightly it should have been. And she said, I did this for two reasons. And number one is, how could I have my children understand the importance of education when I don't even have a high school diploma myself? And number two, I'm 41 years old, and I've never been able to get a job. I want to work. And this high school diploma will allow me that opportunity to get a job. As you can imagine, there wasn't a dry eye in the audience. But these are people that are coming back and recognizing that education is the key to a healthy lifestyle and a successful career that they can have. So this is a great program. Also, we have a program called Graduation Coaches that has expanded to six schools in our county now. And basically, through grants from the United Way and the Center for Human Services, we've been able to hire people that are only there to focus on at-risk students and just checking in with them every day. It's just like having an extra counselor at the school, and attendance and behavior and academics have just skyrocketed in all of the schools, and these students are really excelling now, and we're going to stay with them and follow them through to high school. So the Graduation Coach is another terrific program. The mentoring program, you've heard Keith talk about that. We are partnered with the county on that. We have a number of our employees that are mentoring. I'm in my seventh year as a mentor myself. The picture is of me and my little mentee. His name is Drayvon. And Drayvon, it says he, you know, his life circumstances are beyond his control. Let's just put it that way. And he is, unfortunately, in the category of one of the have-nots. I work with Drayvon. He's in fourth grade. He's the biggest fourth grader in the school. He could be a bully if he wanted to be, because he's so big, but he's a sweet young man. And the sad part is, right now I told my wife the other day, I'm working with flashcards with Drayvon, and she said, oh, like the multiplication tables and stuff? I said, no, honey, flashcards, sight words. Is, as, was, saw. Poor Drayvon can't read. He's in fourth grade. And Drayvon, without the help of a mentor, would be another person that's going to go through the cracks and be a dropout. So we are determined that Drayvon is going to be successful in his life, and it's up to me to make that happen. So the mentoring program does work, because he's comes to school every day, especially on mentor days, because he likes it. So that's it. This road trip journey to success. Last year, we identified at-risk students from two different areas, West Modesto and in the Waterford community. And we brought these students together. And I have to tell you, there were 40 of them. And many of them in sixth grade have already started to identify with the gang colors and things like that. So when we brought them together in one facility, there was a lot of posturing going on, a lot of the stare downs and all of that. By the end of the second day, they were working together and collaborating and having a great time. The carrot we dangled, because of some sponsorships that we received, we said, you hang with us for the summer and not miss one day, you'll walk out of here with a free iPad mini of your own. Well, their eyes lit up, and sure enough, they did that. And one of the challenges, in about the first week, one of the young boys was having a difficult day, and the teacher said, you all right? He said, no, I need to go home. I need to be with my mom. And, well, what's the matter? And she said, well, my dad's in the hospital. He got stabbed last night, and he's in the hospital. And this is their reality. But he wanted to be there, be part of the program, so that he was just part of that. You know, he felt like he connected with those students. I have to tell you, at the end of the summer, those 40 kids wrote me a thank you for this program. And of those 40 thank yous, there were 26, and they didn't write these thank yous together. 26 of them said, thank you for making this the best summer of my life. Are you kidding? These kids went to school every day from 7:30 to 4, and they worked. Now, granted, they took field trips. They got to do coding, robotics, and things like that, but it was still school. And 26 of them said it was the best summer of their life. So we need to continue to expand that, and we're going to do that again this year. Here's some pictures. Thank you to Store Transportation that took these kids every day on different field trips to Hillmar Cheese, other places to show opportunities in Stanislaus County for them that they could learn about education. Parent awareness and engagement. This is the big nut that we have to crack, and we all know that it starts in the home. And if we don't have a family that has meals together and prays together and is together, then we're going to have challenges. And in our community, sadly, we have a high percentage of unwed mothers, single parents, and the like, and it leads to challenges for us in the school system because of a lack of support from the home. But we know that parents that work with their children and support them, those children are successful in life. So the grade level reading, this is a project. Stan was there yesterday. We had a update on what we're doing. This is a community-wide campaign. It's focused on three areas: kindergarten readiness, attendance, and the summer slide. And we had a tremendous turnout yesterday at the event center. Almost 200 people representing multiple agencies and school districts working together and collaborating on how can we try new things to help young people be at grade level at third grade. Grade level at third grade, because that's the key. You know, they determine how many prisons we need to continue to build based on that statistic of whether or not a child reads at grade level at third grade. And I've already told you about Drayvon. Well, the little picture there, I have to brag a little bit, that's our granddaughter, Naomi. Now, Naomi's parents are both in education, so she has a slight advantage, but her bedroom has one wall that's already full of books. We went to visit recently, and our son, they were going out and said, okay, Dad, you read these three books tonight and these three books tomorrow. And I'm saying, gee, what happened to one book a night? No, Naomi loves books, three books. Well, I look at that, and I look at Drayvon, who has zero children books in his home. And when Naomi starts kindergarten, she's going to be ready. But how many of the have-nots start kindergarten and they're not ready? So ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you know, when they talk about closing the achievement gap, the gap is already there when kids start kindergarten. It's already there because of children not being exposed to children's literature and reading. So that's a real key. And here's what the statistics are. So if you're not reading at grade level, you're four times less likely to graduate. And if you are one of the have-nots, it's 13 times. That's sad. And here's the number that I'm really embarrassed to say, but 71% of students in our county are not at this benchmark, 7 out of 10. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have major work to do, and it's critical, and it's urgent, and it's for the sake of our country, really, not just our community, but our country on what we can do for this. So what's being done to get books in the hands of young children? So we know in our county, Stanislaus County, 61% of low-income homes do not have a single piece of children's literature. We recently purchased the county office 25,000 brand new books. It's kind of been a logistical nightmare, but we had them delivered. They're going through Patterson High School right now. Students are categorizing them, labeling. We're putting them out into these homes of low-income families. So, and we're not just giving them books. We're showing parents how to read to your children, how to talk to your children about what they're reading. So we started free libraries. Our military academy students in their wood shop are building these free libraries that people are asking for them, and they're putting them in their neighborhoods and sink them in the ground, and we're putting books in there, and they're free. You take a book, bring one back. And so we have 34 of those out in our communities now, and it's just tremendous success because we have like a little library card that goes with it. You sign in, and we know that it's being used, so we're really excited about that. I mentioned yesterday the Stanislaw Reads program is really off the ground and going full bore now. And part of that is free books for children from birth to age 5. $30 a year will get a student a brand new book mailed to their home each month. And I want you to know that I put a charge out to our staff at the County Office of Education this fall, and I said, if you go through our workplace giving program, do automatic payroll deduct, $30 will get a student a book a month mailed to their home. And we have 160 students through the generosity of our employees giving books to students in our county every month until they're age 5. So I'm really proud of that that we're doing. What can you do to help spread the word about Destination Graduation? We've got a website, all kinds of things that you can do to help. Direct dropouts to anybody that knows of any to the Comeback Kid program. Be a mentor. And instead of getting toys and other video type things for children's birthdays, buy them a book, because books are still the greatest thing. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your support, and thanks for the great work you do in collaboration with us. God bless you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll have a public comment. This is the opportunity for anyone in the audience to make comment on any issue not on today's agenda. And you have 5 minutes in which to discuss your subject. Anyone wish, would they please come forward and please tell us who you are, please. For the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident. I was interested to see that we had a new individual signed on. Josh Bridegroom managed to be given a new title, I guess. I don't know if it's chairman of the board or what exactly. Sorry, I work late. My eyes aren't functioning real well, okay? It's for the Modesto Improvement District. Of course, that's MIP. I kind of like that. It's, you know, partnership, excuse me. In the Downtown Modesto Community Benefit District. Now, I've expressed my concerns here before when I shared with you an email that Josh had sent when he was still working for the city talking about security guards downtown. Well, I'm afraid we've renamed them. Maybe we're going to call them ambassadors and navigators now. Now, gentlemen, I hold you responsible. The community holds you responsible. Since you decided it didn't matter what individuals thought when it came to an election, you used your power and the city used their power to create a district against the will of the public. And now we have people downtown that are potentially going to negate everything that the county is trying to do when it comes to dealing with the homeless. At least that's my position. That's what I see coming. You know, a navigator, we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay for them. Apparently we're going to hire 6. They're going to guide the homeless. Where are they going to guide them? Out of downtown Modesto. Are they going to assist? I sincerely doubt it, because that's not their goal. That's a concern for me. I think that should be a concern for you. You're putting $1 million behind trying to resolve the issue of the homeless, and they're going to take a shortcut, and they're just going to push them somewhere else. That's a problem we have in Modesto. It's something they've tried in the past. I expect them to do so in the future. And I understand the Modesto Community Benefit District is Brown Act, so you can go visit. But I don't know if MEPS is the... There's more nonprofits in Modesto that control things than I've ever seen. It's funny as all get out. But I don't believe that that's going to be available to the public. I would like to know that at some point in time in the future. I'll make that a public record request, but that could be later. But I want to go on because I only have the 5 minutes. You know, your reticence to allow the public to vote, first when it came to the benefit district, and now to the blatant electioneering of the timing of saying, no, you know, I'm not going to run for office. Sorry, Supervisor. Somebody's got to say it. But you know, I'm not going to tell anybody ahead of time, well, maybe I mentioned it to Kristen. You know, so Ms. Olson's there with her paperwork and her everything she needs to get signed on board. Now, I just don't understand why not only, gentlemen, are we really afraid a Democrat's going to get elected to this board? I don't think so. You woke up, Democrat, no. But are we afraid of that? No, but we not only are concerned about a Democrat getting elected, we selected an individual because the people of Modesto in Stanislaus County aren't smart enough to choose who they want to sit up there and be our personal representatives. That's the way it appears. There could be no doubt about it. And all, you know, I understand a good party man, Supervisor DeMartini, you know, I gotta love it. I mean, no offense, you get another Republican in there for sure. I'm not suggesting that you're endorsing the individual, not saying that you're not. But I just have to welcome the fact that a good party man, good party men, are going to be having the opportunity, and this is a grin, I can hardly get it out, to go into the voting booth, pull the curtain behind us, although we all know there's no curtains anymore, and push that Republican button for Donald Trump. Because that's who it looks like it's going to be. That's the inclusive man. That's the man who wants to bring us all together. You know, it's just sad that not only do we have locally, we're turning around and not allowing the private property owners to make a decision when it came to the downtown improvement district. We're not allowing the public to really weigh in on who's going to occupy that chair when you retire. But you don't trust us. I don't understand it. You know I have you in respect. Even when I disagree with you, I respect you. Okay, that's more often than not, but I still respect you. But this was kind of sad, and nobody said a word about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dick, just real quick, I'm sorry. Emerson, we'll get you those meetings. You can attend those, and I'd love to have you come. Those the Modesto Partnership, Downtown Partnership.
Right. Those are, but it's the other one, the MEP.
No, the one I'm talking about.
Nonprofit that's going to control.
Right. No, even though I'd love to get you to come to attend. I'm going to send you some dates here. I'll email you and we'll get you there.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
At this time, is there anyone else wishing to make comment? If not, we will now go to the consent calendar, and I'll ask any member on the board if they wish to pull any item.
I would like to pull item B11, please.
B11?
Yes.
Well, before the board takes action on the consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? And Mr. Terry Suela, you have requested, I believe it's B5.
Hopefully we got breaks on that, Terry. Okay.
And after 3 weeks, I'm learning how to use it. Okay. Although I do appreciate disability access now much more than I did before. I'm here as just someone who lives in the downtown area in the college neighborhood. And I know this board has spent a lot of time on preservation, primarily preservation issues related to ag lands and keeping those as a part of the backbone of our county. I've spent a part of the last 5 years in preservation issues for our neighborhood, College Area Neighborhood Association, and I'm one of the charter members. I'm here to speak on the lease agreement that is probably already rolled down the road relative to moving the county facilities on Scenic to McHenry Boulevard. One of the recurring problems we've had in the college area has been the lack of coordination of county services and the burden it has put on our neighborhood, particularly relative to lodgings. From Needham all the way up Lower McHenry, those are overnight lodgings for a lot of people that county services simply hand out vouchers for. You can validate with the Modesto Police Department the problems that has caused for them and continues to cause for us. We've hired our own private security so that we can counteract some of the vagrancy and vandalism and crime that's become a part of the college area. And part of this is because the county seems to perceive that all agencies need to be focused on the downtown and surrounding area. And I see this as an expansion along Lower McHenry of that same belief that somehow, well, we need to move somebody, let's just move it downtown here again. And as a downtown businessman, I have to deal daily with issues of people flowing in and out and around my business and doing things that all of us would be offended by. I'm concerned that this is another step in that process. A 10-year lease to move another county agency. Now you can say, well, okay, this is for rehabilitation. It's 11,000 visitors, supposedly, to the Modesto Bee article that go now to McHenry and Granger. Have you driven down North McHenry, or McHenry, Lower McHenry lately? Have you tried to get from Orangeburg to Briggsmore? All we're doing is compounding a traffic issue in our area. We deal with a methadone clinic that the city has allowed, and we're hopefully working with the city to begin to change that avenue. This is an ongoing struggle for us, and we've put time and energy to preserving our neighborhoods for our families. And this becomes a counterpoint for what you folks are looking at today. And I just found out about it this morning. So it appears that there's no environmental impact report when it comes to moving agencies around. And I would submit to you, you need to think about the neighborhoods those agencies are located in, whether that's downtown or whether that's just north of here. That this can't go on year after year, because it's we who carry the burden of what flows through our neighborhoods. So I ask you to either postpone consideration of this or to simply stop it and say, look, we've got to find another way. Thank you.
Yeah, with the chair's permission, staff would like to respond. First of all, we certainly understand the concerns that were articulated by Mr. Suela, and I've been focused on what we can do, because it's clearly the impact on McHenry created by not only the homeless but the vagrant population is becoming a very visible issue. We have been working in concert with the City of Modesto and Modesto Police Department to take a look at our voucher program and the types of hotels that we're supporting and the level of criminal activity that's been occurring at some of that. And recently we even quit allowing vouchers to go to one of the hotels to make a statement that we're not that kind of tolerance and poor management allowing criminal activity is just not acceptable. I have staff here from both my office and health services agency that can speak specifically to the clinics that will be moving and the type of volume. But this is a consideration that we've given. And so I have Patricia Hill Thomas, Chief Operations Officer from the Chief Executive Office, and Mary Ann Lee, our Director of our health services agency.
Thank you, Mr. Rising. Good morning, members of the board, council, Mr. Rising, and the audience. And thank you, Mr. Suela, for your comments. We indeed are very concerned about how to provide critical county services, so we'd like to provide some clarification. These are medical services. These are medical services provided to members of the community that are either served by Medi-Cal or are often working individuals, their families, in a medical office building. The building, one of the reasons the building is recommended is it's a full service building, and many people go there already for their lab work or radiology or the other kinds of things that are present in a full service building. These individuals that the county serves, and Marianne can provide more detail on that, have been a tremendous concern about us, how to be efficient, effective, and serve our population. the closeness and adjacency of Doctors Medical Center, which is the county's partner in the delivery of health care services, is a key factor, because we not only need to have a safe and modern place to provide clinic services, but we need to be able to attract physicians as well. In this case, the space that we're recommending be leased has in the past for a long time been a full service with behavioral health services, which are not included in our recommendation, for the Veterans Administration. And in fact, several years ago, Chairman Monteith and I visited that location that has always been filled in this regard for people who need medical services who are served by the Veterans Administration. So it's a very similar use that we're recommending now. I think it's really important to emphasize the medical end. This is not drug or alcohol rehabilitation. These are not rehab. These are medical services that we all need in our community and that are scheduled and that are provided to the patients that are supported by the county's outpatient clinic system that when it was created after the closure of the county hospital was to serve over 207,000 patient visits a year. That has diminished over time because we have good partners in the community providing medical care services like Golden Valley Health Care Centers and like many private medical providers in our community who see these patients as well. So I wanted to kind of draw that as a backdrop and to assure Mr. Suela and the community that we tried to be very comprehensive and make sure that we weren't adding any additional impact by simply using a medical office to provide medical services for which the county is responsible in this community. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mary Ann to talk about more of the specific services there.
I think Patty did such a good job of explaining what it is that we were planning to do. I guess the one other point that I would make is that the proposal is not to move all of the services of our agency to this new location. It's just the specialty and rehabilitation clinics, not the entire agency. As Patty said, that building is constructed. It's designed as a medical office building. So the tenants in that building are providing medical services. What we're proposing is to move our specialty and rehab services. The specialty clinics. And in terms of the location, why we thought it was attractive, like Patty said, the location, the proximity to the medical campuses, to DMC and the other medical offices, you all know there's a physician shortage, and the attractiveness of that location for the physicians that are coming, they're community physicians, they're not dedicated county doctors, they're community physicians that come in to provide services to our patients, and that location is attractive because of where it is, not in proximity to downtown, but because of the other medical services in the area. So, if there are other questions about the services, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
Any question this time? You have additional question?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Maybe if I could, first of all, to repeat the question, since it wasn't said into the microphone, he asked about the traffic impact. It's my understanding that there'll be less than 100 patient visits on average a day, and that's probably going to be significantly less than when the Veterans Clinic was there. So I think overall, the arguments can be there's probably going to be less impact traffic-wise than there has been in the past.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I think there's two additional points that I think we need to make sure we make clear. One, we have a cancellation provision. We can cancel this contract if something goes wrong and something happens. So we do have that cancellation that the county can cancel. Second, we're also going to start a master plan to take a look at all the facilities. This is 11,000 out of, what are we at now, 160,000 visits a year. So 11,000 out of 160,000 will be going to this. It's not the entire thing moving. However, what we do need is that master plan to take a look at the entire system of what we do, what services we provide, to come up with what's really best countywide, and come up with an end solution. And if that comes before 10 years, we have opportunity to move it. If this causes problems and havoc, we have the opportunity to cancel it. So I think that's an important point to make.
Thank you.
Yes. Those are all great points. And Terry, don't want you to think that we're not listening to you. We're just thinking that this one right here is not an issue, you know, that should concern you. A lot of the other things you said, we totally agree that are issues that should concern you. And believe me, we are all very hard at work at dealing with those issues. So we appreciate you being here. Okay.
Thank you. At this time, the board, is there anyone else wishing to make any comment or any subject be pulled? If not, board, you wish to pull B11? Yes. Is there a discussion you wish to do before we do the election? Or?
Sure. Maybe. Do we want to address that right now? Is that? Do you want to do the rest?
Okay. Why don't we have motion pass the consent calendar other than B11?
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
I will second that.
First and second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Pass.
And item B11.
Would you like a staff report?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I think Adam was going to come up here and address that. I'm sorry.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Risen, and Mr. Doering, Adam Christensen, your sheriff. And this particular agenda item, we'll do kind of the speed read and then get to Supervisor Withrow's question, if any. This is, simply put, a contract that we've been, or a partnership we've had with Behavioral Interventions for several years. It's a partnership between probation and the sheriff's office, and essentially this is a company that provides electronic monitoring equipment as an alternative to incarceration. This is one of the tools we use to monitor offenders in the community outside of actually incarcerating them, which is another relief factor for our average daily population. The details are very well laid out in the agenda item, and this was an RFP process supported by GSA. Once again, Kathy Blair and that team always do an amazing job in managing these processes according to the board's guidelines and policies. So we came to a decision. That's before you today to adopt or approve this contract with BI so that we can continue electronic monitoring. Mr. Withrow.
Perfect. No, I trust you guys did a great job on this, Adam. Anytime we have one that goes back to as far as 2002, we've been using somebody for that long, I always want to kind of look
sure.
at it and figure
absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely.
And the only thing I didn't see in here, I could see the price has actually gone down compared to our previous contract, which is great, but I couldn't see where BI ended up as far as the price is concerned in comparison to the other ones. And I know
well,
you guys
the,
had that, but
pricing,
I just...
pricing, in the RFP, the pricing was 20% of the overall score. The other 80% was industry experience, financial stability of the company, the overall view of the products that were offered, quality presentation, submission, and references. I agree with you. I am all about competitive processes and getting the best product. Overall, BI had the best scores, and the pricing, while they were second best, coming in about 3% higher than the lowest cost, those scores were, when aggregated, the BI score sheet was high enough on the quality side to outweigh the slight decrease they got for being second in price. I can tell you that when it comes to contracts and vendors, we hold them to a very high degree of accountability, responsiveness, customer service, supportive staff, quality of the product, and BI has... every time, without exception, been an exceptional support partner of not only the sheriff's office but probation.
Perfect. Okay. No, I'm good with that. I just couldn't see that in, and to know they came in second, not fourth, it's a good thing to know, and just wanted to make sure everybody else knew that. That's all I got. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I was going to say, I wore one of those for a week one time to see what it was like. You have to charge them up.
Was that voluntary, Jim, or was it?
No, it was voluntary. But the amazing thing was when they played back a few days of where I was at certain times, and it records just where you were. And even if you're driving in a car, I mean, it shows the car moving. I was really quite impressed with the technology. So I was just curious about them, so I... The only criticism I have them is that you have to charge them up at least twice a day, and if the battery gets low, it starts beeping. So you gotta
well, be there's sure incentive you're... not to wear one.
Right. Supervisor DeMartini, are you curious about a stun gun?
No. No, I know Jeff Grover did that demonstration there. I was going to leave that up to him. But
you know, the old timers
ankle bracelets are really quite amazing devices.
The old timers on this board, I got the opportunity to wear one too for probation when they got theirs, and they could tell how fast you were driving down the street. So, interesting.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was a little concerned about that.
Okay, I will make a motion to approve item B11.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passed. Thank you. We now will go to item B12, Dr. Rebecca Nananjo, I believe. Oh, pardon me.
Well, you got me instead.
Okay, fine.
Hi. Mary Ann Lee, Director of the Health Services Agency, and I'm before you now to ask for your permission to rehire an about-to-be-retired employee that's an occupational therapist. We're well aware of the six-month requirement to sit out after retirement, and that only in those in a situation that where we wouldn't be able to provide service without doing this. And I think we're in those circumstances where I wouldn't be asking for permission to do this. This occupational therapist works in our medical therapy unit that's part of the California Children's Services Program. At Sonoma Elementary School, it is a mandate that the county provide services to the eligible children. And frankly, we're having trouble right now keeping up with caseload between recruitment challenges that we have. We've been trying to recruit. We're just not attracting candidates. So we have vacancies. We also have a couple of medical leaves. So we're really in a dire situation right now in terms of staffing to manage the caseload that we have, and we do have some children on a wait list. So we're just asking that we can go ahead and not wait the 6 months and bring this employee back on a part-time basis to help us while we continue to recruit and find better solutions. So do you have any questions for me?
Any questions for the board? If not, I ask open to the public. Any questions in the public? If not, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for decision. Any questions or comments or decision?
I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. We now will go to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding a proposal for a 90-day extension of existing emergency regulations to protect fisheries at risk due to drought conditions.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding Stanislaus County's fiscal year 2016 allocations for community planning and development programs.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. At this time, is there any reports by the board?
I have one, Mr. Chairman. Saturday, I went to Creekside Elementary School in Patterson. They had a history day there. It was really a very successful event. There was probably about 400 students there, and they had different displays and presentations that they were doing. I spent a little time with the superintendent, and he did compliment Tom Chagnon's office, Tom in particular, for his assistance in that program to make it as successful as it was. So I know Tom's here today. I just wanted to know what was said. Complimentary to you there, and it was just a great program. I don't know if other schools do that sort of thing, but it was really well done. I was really glad that I went to see it. So thanks for your effort there, Tom.
Any other reports? If not, we'll go to the legislative, fiscal, and management report by CEO Stan Risen.
And no report this morning.
Okay, at that time, then this meeting is adjourned.